The views, opinions, and content of the show hosts and their guests appearing on America's Web Radio are their own and do not necessarily reflect those of the station.
You're listening to America's Web Radio on the AmericasBroadcastNetwork.com. Thank you for listening.
Good afternoon, good afternoon. Welcome to America's Web Radio. You're listening to Bite of Reality with Mark the Shark. Coming back to the USA live from New York. So, we had a nice week outside the country, and I can tell you that we are the laughing stock of the planet currently. I met people from Britain, I met people from Spain, I met people from Ireland, I met people from Scotland, and a whole host of other countries. And their main question on their lips, and coming from them, was, what were you guys thinking when you put Biden in the White House? And quite frankly, I don't think we were thinking as Americans. We got sold a bucket of chum. And they told us it was brand new, fresh crab. But it wasn't. Guess what? The crab doesn't even know where it is, doesn't know what day it is, and certainly continues to read teleprompter directions during a speech, which is baffling to me. Completely baffling, but not unexpected under the current situation. We understand who he is and what he is now. But you know what? They're going to put stuff out there in 2024 and the advertising. And guess what? It's going to be phenomenal because they're going to make the Republicans look like nincompoops. That's right. One of my favorite words on this planet. So, you know, without further ado, we will begin to jump right into my favorite part of the show, as usual, the rhyme time of the week. Now, take it from me. I had to translate it from Spanish back into English, so it is what it is. So, without it, here we go. Which society do we want to be? Vicious and brutal, or the one which we can live together in harmony? You would think the latter, but you'd be wrong. Just look around us and see the sad state of our angry song. We kill each other for ideology. There is something strange. Why we want to erase humanity and the earth to rearrange? Can this be the beginning of what will be the end? Man's wrath, an ever more creative killing spree, the rules we bend. Lately, the overpowering fear of our mutual destruction is no match with our desire for termination of life and no production. Seems we want more to destroy each other than the concept of peace. What happened to love your brother? The advances we have made pale in compare to our lack of humanity that now fills the air. Why Hamas thinks it's better to build bombs and weapons than schools. We have become a society just filled with a bunch of radical fools. When we humans started out, seemed like we had a good plan. Then things went sideways, new leaders in control. We should have stuck with Jesus and Stan. For this, we strove so hard to become now a world at war. Learning nothing from history for our claimed advances, we've not traveled very far. Seems that humans are destined, no mystery, to repeat our dumb mistakes of our unlearned history. Tear down the statues, we erase our past. The war will rage on. With these erasures, human and history will not last. With radicals in charge, nothing gained, everything lost. We must stop and assess what we're doing, the real, true cost. I thought that this human species had finally evolved. Yet we can't even solve a living arrangement. According to Hamas, it cannot, with Israel, be solved. So the world may end, but we don't even seem to care. As long as we go down fighting for our radical ideas, destroying the world, it's just not fair. We claim to care about this planet, yet we fail to realize climate change is not the existent threat. Pales in comparison to the nuclear fallout right before our eyes. When I say our leaders can't be this dumb, they are determined to vacate the planet and only inhabit one under the sun. Radical thoughts and actions are evil's fight. They're the source of killing, and here in the United States, we have to recognize them in plain sight. If we don't lead the world, we'll not follow. And when this happens, the desire for peace will ring hollow. Why can't we just stop and learn that destruction cannot be the desire? Quite frankly, I think the fact is we are coming down right to the wire. We as humans must make a decision as rational as it seems. Do we want more turmoil or war, or do we want hope and dreams? This can be the final verse for man to end our time on Earth. Or can we finally dig into our souls and take stock in what we are worth? We have gone through World War I and World War II. We still don't know that the end of it all, the death and destruction and worse, will have nothing to show. Strange as it may seem, we are all stuck here for a reason. We are failing miserable at it. Doesn't seem to even be a constructive season. We must get our act together, start by weeding out our own garden of radical weeds, and start to plant a better humanity, remove the poison from our campuses, and address the real learning needs. Want to tell the real terrorists from the good guys? If one side dropped their weapons tomorrow, who kills who and who dies? What I find most disturbing is that once again the mainstream news failed. They ran with impunity with a fake headline story, and members of the moron squad were as heroes hailed. Instead, when the squad gives voice to insanity and they're cheered. Facts don't matter. They continue the deception. This must be feared. In Congress, we have a very dangerous radical faction. These members of Congress are unvetted radicals, giving them opportunity to build a life. Instead, we get the opposite reaction. We must fire radical fringe professors, clean out the campus clowns, get back to raising America's flags and our value, then move to our towns. It's time to change the killing time. This cannot be accepted. We need our citizens to be smart and not keep getting arrested. To protect our children's minds from things that seem real clear. This idea is so simple, yet the radical left in this country can no longer be allowed to steer. When is now a good time to change the outcome of the game? To get this right before it's too late. We must keep our aim. Now the kingdom of ideas has had a serious leak. I wonder if we can continue to prop up Biden for just another week. The sense of despair and hopelessness in this country is real. Biden economics is the cause, not the cure. You could change the words, but we all know the real deal. They'll spin it like a dryer. They will convince the masses that the economy is not in free fall. Don't believe what you see. You just need glasses. Things are spiraling down. Everyone now knows. Our society is quickly losing its collective mind, and it really shows. Seems we won't be happy until we kill each other. This is certainly not what I was told growing up by my mother. Yet the lamestream media picks up the dead ball, running it in for a touchdown, and then wondering why the score did not change at all. Seems that our leaders are now quite perplexed. They can't pick a leader of the house. They are clueless what to do next. Now I wish I could blame it all on the Democrats and their ilk. But this time, the Republicans, we paid for premium. We got the speed rack, full tilt. How hard can it be to come up with a valid speaker? You think they would pull up a mixture and just pour it in the beaker. Again, it seems that leaders led themselves into an oncoming train. And this fire and ice situation is not helping Israel or Ukraine. The margins are very small, but it's not the true reason. Pelosi had margins, the iron fist, the uni party followed, the radicals, it was pleasing. They even impeached Trump without evidence or facts, the January 6th committee, a mockery it made of truth and his acts. They impeached him for some claimed treason on the phone we saw, the reality being he was right all along. There were no facts, only straw. Radicals on the left lead us so far astray that in a few more years with Biden, they will control everything you do. Every single day. So, why, I ask, are the Republicans shooting themselves in the head? This insanity to destroy the speakership has the Republican Party dead. Every political ad for the presidency and more in 2024 will depict the Republicans in their dysfunction. They don't need to say any more. Look, we gave them a chance. They could not even pick a speaker. They will blame the Republicans for making America so much weaker. But now, again, rhyme time ends here, this week in the USA. For our leaders are playing games. They've been accustomed to playing for so long this way. They no longer have our interests nor our backs for some time. The leaders of the people are out of touch, and they think it's just fine. So on to the main show. I want you to make mental notes. See that you make them in your head. And fix this with your votes. Thank you. Thank you very much. So as many of you know, last week we broadcast, a special broadcast, with On Point with Victor and Locked and Loaded with Roger B. from Mexico. That's right, Mexico. Outside the USA. I did go outside the USA. I do know where the door is, but apparently we removed the door from Mexico, so you should just come right in. It's wide open, folks. But reality in Mexico was, quite frankly, very unexplained. You know, you ask, you meet the people there, and you start talking to them. The first question is always, well, where are you from? A lot of British accents, Scottish accents, and some Irish accents. Yes, they are different. You can tell the difference. And what I found kind of almost unanimous, not... was that they all couldn't understand why America had voted for Biden and why they thought that Trump was the better and why they thought that Trump was, in fact, the world needed him, not just America, which I found spectacularly different than what I've heard in every news organization since. It's been pretty bizarre. It's been a bizarre ride, quite frankly. We all heard for 4 years how bad Trump was and how miserable he was and how horrible he was getting America. He was devastating America. He was just wrong for the country. For 4 years, we heard this from the lamestream media. No facts. That's, you know, never let facts get in the way of a great story, right? That's the story. That's our lamestream media, folks. It's not your dad's news media. When they actually told you what was going on in the world, no. Today, it's they tell you what they want you to know. And that's a problem. That's a serious problem. There are people around this country who hate Trump for no idea. They have no reason and no clue as to why they hate him so much. But they hate him. I'd never vote for Trump. He devastated America. And when you follow up with that one question and you turn around and you say, well, what did he do? Well, his tweets were this. He is such a bullish guy. A brash guy? Okay, but what did he do to hurt America? Nobody has a clue. Why? Because it didn't happen, folks. That never happened. I know, don't let facts get in the way of a good story, but sorry, I have to bring you back to reality. What Trump did for the United States was amazing. Remember something. A lot of people forget about this. He not only was fighting the Democrats, which will always fight the Republicans. They don't know why, but they're just fighting with the Republicans. For no reason, but that doesn't matter. And the Republicans fight with the Democrats. For no reason, it doesn't matter. But he was fighting the entire infrastructure of our ridiculously corrupted government. And the corruption. What do I mean by corruption? Why do we send people into government? Why do we elect people? We elect the people to do their business, to get rich, to get famous. No, we elect them to do the people's business. Did we forget about that somewhere along the line? We completely lost track of what we were doing as a country. This country was founded by farmers and pharmacy owners and business owners, regular people. And they knew what to do. Not always the right decision, but they were working towards a common goal. We today, we don't work towards any goal. We work to individual goals in this government. You have the radical left who just hates America. You have the radical right who loves America and doesn't care what's going on in the rest of the world. And then you have the people in the middle who you suspect should be governing. That's the radical nobody, because they're not radicals. Because they take a little bit from the right, a little bit from the left, and they come to a consensus in the middle. We've lost those guys. They've gone. We, as Americans, have lost our political will. We've been devastated. I understand that. And I look at, one of the things is that was going around is, did World War III already start? That's the big question for me. Did we already start World War III? And when I say we, I say as a society, our humanity. Because as everyone will point out to you, we're a global world now. Well, you know what? That's great. That's a wonderful thing to say. But what does it really mean? Global world. We're all attached somehow, right? I saw something this morning that really kind of... I never expected to see it, quite frankly. If it's not a deep fake, then you know what? It was pretty darn good. It was a speech that Kim Jong-un of North Korea was giving. And I really hate to quote Kim Jong-un from North Korea. That's not exactly the guy I'd go to for information. But he did have some, you know, as I say, every once in a while, even a blind squirrel finds a nut. He came out and he gave a speech. And he basically said, the world needs Donald Trump. Not America, but the world needs Donald Trump. And he pointed something out, which I think I've said a couple of times on the show already. So maybe he's just listening to America's Web Radio, Dave. Kim Jong-un might be listening. He said something brilliant. He said, under Trump, no wars were started. The world was at peace. Americans were chasing their own president, trying to get him out of office, but the world was at peace. Because when the world has a strong leader, they have someone to follow. Now, he also pointed out several facts which are obviously apparent, but if you put them together in a sentence, you sit back and you go, holy moly. He said, since Biden's been in office, every single year there has been a war in the world. Ukraine attacked by Russia. Remember that whole thing about deterrence? Remember Joe Biden's going to sanction him? And when the sanctions, Russia and Putin looked back and said, yeah, bite me. The sanctions were not for deterrence. Remember that? Then they weren't for deterrence because obviously they did not work. So he didn't care because it didn't work, right? So we just changed the facts. Forget about them. So then he says every year. So now... we're in a second war, again, Israel versus the Palestinians and Hamas. And here's the other thing he pointed out, which was really kind of insightful because, you know, our media's span of attention is that of a tsetse fly. It's about 30 seconds, maybe. If it's not in the 30 or 15 second clip, we're not interested. We don't care as Americans because we can't get it quickly. We're a fast food nation of news. So what happens? He says, and where do you think those $88 billion of weapons that America left behind in Afghanistan when it abandoned the Afghan people went? You know, we are fighting our own war. And here's an interesting thought that he didn't bring to the forefront, but I will bring to the American people here. Here's the big problem I also see. Again, the Biden administration and the genius bar he's got hired... we are funding both sides of the Ukrainian war. And people, what do you mean by that? Well, we're giving billions and billions to Ukraine only. $150 billion or something, $140 billion now. It just keeps changing every minute. And there's a new package that Biden wants to send to Ukraine. And that's, listen, had he done his job as president ahead of time, they would have never gone into Ukraine. But that's a different story. I digress. Let me move back to what I was pointing out. So now, Russia has the funds under Biden because he stopped drilling in America. Yeah, it's all tied together, folks. When oil was $40 and $30 a barrel, Russia didn't have the money. They have the economy of, like, California. I don't even think it's as big as California's. Somebody thinks that the economy in Russia is huge. It's not. It's a small economy. But what did you do? You gave them money. Why did you give them money? Because they have lots of oil and gas. And when they doubled their price or tripled their price because of Biden stopped producing in America when we were energy independent, and it's not, you know, it's just not that fact. People say, well, we need to push EVs. You know what? They will come. When EVs are better than fossil fuels, they will be adopted by America. I have no fear. Americans are fairly smart, given time. Don't give them the facts. Give them the time. They'll figure it out. But on this particular issue, it's very simple. Really, really simple. You're giving the money to Russia to use in Ukraine, and then we're spending $140 billion already in Ukraine. So we funded both sides of the war. This is great. Now, here we go again. You think we would learn? No. So what did we do in Israel? We promised Iran we're going to give you $6 billion for humanitarian aid. Genius bar? If I have $6 billion in my right pocket, which is my humanitarian aid pocket, and I have $6 billion in my left pocket, which is my weapons pocket, I have to take some of that money out of my weapons pocket and put it towards feeding my population if I don't have the humanitarian aid. Right? That makes sense. If you have a dead population, doesn't matter what weapons you have, there's no one there to use it. So, now Biden gives the $6 billion. And I know, they took it away, they froze it, but let's go back to what the plan was, because that's the key here. So what they did is they then gave the ability for Iran to take that $6 billion in their weapons left pocket and use it. Because now they don't have to take some of that money to put it towards humanitarians. The humanitarian aid that to keep their population alive, right? But he didn't get it. He just didn't get it. It just escaped his mental... I can't say the word, but I'll say mental specialness. Yes, that's it. Mental specialness. It's like 2 + 2 = 3. That's the mental specialness factor. So I'm looking at this and I'm saying Kim Jong-un is right. So now we're funding both sides of the Israeli-Palestinian war. Now, who started the war? Let's see who. Well, let's go back, because everyone's yelling in this country. You want to talk about MAGA? Let's talk about the radical imperialistic left. Let's talk about the terroristic left in this country. What's going on in this world right now? This country right here. So now we have Biden pledged on Thursday, which was last night, $100 million to the Palestinian people. Now, I'm going to send you $100 million to the Hamas-controlled territory. This just seems like a bad idea. I mean, I asked my dog about it, and he said, oh, no, don't do it. He said, don't do it. Why? Why would you want to give the humanitarian aid? Well, because we're going to make sure it goes for humanitarian aid, just like you did in Iran. And what happened there, folks? You think Hezbollah's launching missiles just because they got some extras? You think Hamas went into Israel and committed terrorist acts, killed 1,300 people just because they felt like it, because they didn't have that extra money from Iran? Please. You know, every once in a while, we've got to stop funding the terrorists and stop for a second. If you vote in a terroristic organization to run your country or your strip, the Gaza Strip, whatever you want to call it, then those are the people who are the terrorists. You are part of the problem, not the solution. It's the bottom line. So why are we putting up $100 million? And by the way, can someone let Washington know that that's not their money, that's our money? How about putting $100 million up for our veterans? How about putting $100 million up for some child care? Hey, we keep talking about child care. Well, there goes another $100 million out of the budget to no child care. You know, this is just this country under the Biden administration has gone bonkers. They really have. So this week, again, Biden decided to take a travel. Get on the jet. What's interesting is Hunter wasn't with him this time, was he? I guess there was no business to do with Hamas. I guess so he left Hunter at home. But he goes to Israel. Why he went, I don't know. All right, you know what? We're going to take a short break. We'll come right back after this, and I'll let you know right after. Stand by.
What will Victor say next? Find out every Tuesday at 1 p.m. on the On Point with Victor show, only on America's Web Radio.
What will Victor say next? Find out every Tuesday at 1 p.m. on the On Point with Victor show, only on America's Web Radio.
You're listening to America's Web Radio, your voice in the matter.
You're listening to America's Web Radio on the AmericasBroadcastNetwork.com. Thank you for listening.
All right, so we're back with America's Web Radio with Bite of Reality with Mark the Shark coming live to you from New York. So right before the break, we were talking about what is this all about? What's going on here? So Biden heads over to Israel. Now, I guess he was trying to do a Trump-type deal where you meet with all the sides and try to work something out. Oh, I don't know, like the Abraham Accords, something like that. Okay, so what happens? Biden goes over there, and again, you know, a lot of people criticized him for what he said on the plane. He sounded disoriented. He sounded kind of like he was drifting off in space like he normally does. But I honestly don't think I give him the credit on this one. I think what he was trying to do is be careful what he said. That's my take on it. I think that he was trying to parse his words and not give out something that maybe, oh, I don't know, like posting up the secrets, you know, posting up secrets from, put up our special forces faces on the picture post from the White House. I'll get into that in a second. But I got to tell you, it didn't work out for him. He went to Israel. He supported Israel. That was great. He could have done that from the White House, quite frankly. Was he trying to make a show of, you know, America's tough, we're strong, we're here? Well, what I thought would have been nice is maybe if he took a trip over to the aircraft carrier. That would have been something, to appear with the troops, to egg our troops up and get their morale going. But they didn't do that. Well, you know what they also didn't do? They didn't meet with their Middle East, quote-unquote, partners. Jordan? No, they guess Saudi Arabia, Egypt? Yeah, no. They all turned them down. They said, thanks, but no thanks, Joe. Now, why did that happen? Let's look at the reality. That's what we do here at Bite of Reality. I'll tell you why it happened. It was very simple. Because you had the moron media in the world pick up the disjumbled statement from Hamas that Israel attacked a hospital, which was so ridiculous, which was so outrageous. You would think that one of these morons in the newsroom would have turned around and said, you know what? Let's see if we can verify this. Let's see if we can get another source. Perhaps maybe get the real true what happened. No. So what happens? Reuters runs out with that story. And then everybody picks it up. The AP picks it up. Everybody had it. Israel attacks hospital. Hundreds dead. Well, guess what? Never happened. Why? Because Hamas was caught in transmissions back and forth between the Hamas leaders. By the way, Israeli invented Pegasus. If you don't know what Pegasus is, look it up. It's a transmission and communications interceptor, which is amazing. So what happens? They were firing off missiles at Israel. And as missiles that you create with water pipes to feed your people and to produce clean water in your Gaza Strip, you make missiles out of them, and guess what? Sometimes they just don't work. And guess what happens? It lands in the hospital. But interestingly enough, if the genius bar at the White House or any one of these news outlets would have looked, a bomb from an Israeli ordnance creates a huge hole, creates huge devastation. And trust me, folks, if the IDF, the Israeli Defense Force, wanted to hit the hospital, there would be no hospital. It would be gone. Just like they took out the buildings with Hamas, it would be gone. But Israel doesn't do that. They also don't run into others' territories and cut off babies' heads, rip babies out of mothers' wombs and kill them and shoot them and chop their heads off. No, I think that is a terroristic act that is reserved in this particular instance to Hamas. So when they ran out with this story, and I think they knew that this was a fake story, but it didn't stop them from putting it out. And that inflamed the Middle East. Why? Because these people don't have a brainless, the media in some of these countries is so corrupted and so misdirected and so misinformed. Where are all the misinformation people with their Pinocchios now? Where'd they all go? Oh, that's right, they're retired because it's not Trump. So all the misinformation that they yelled about and all the misinformation that they want to stop and they want to censor, the White House needs a censorship bureau, but yet they let this crap out on the air. And this crap inflamed the Middle East because they're a bunch of numbnuts. They listen to this stuff. They don't know what facts are. They know what their government tells them, just like us. Amazing, huh? So they turn that around and they send that out. And guess what? It was a lie. But that didn't stop the morons in this country, the radical left, like AOC, Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez. I just came back from Mexico. That complete bimbo, this brainless empty bag of air from coming out and condemning Israel for bombing the hospital. She has as much thought going on in her brain as my rock garden. There's zero in that kid. Zero. I mean, you gotta be kidding me to tell me that you thought for a second that Israel would deliberately, even probably by accident even, bomb a hospital. Tell me once in all of the history that they have had, and they've been in a lot of wars because people are always trying to take them out. Tell me, when did they target a hospital? Oh no, that's right. They don't do that. Why? Because they're not terrorists. Oh, that's the reason. So what are we doing here? So we have Hamas, okay? They're in control of the Gaza Strip. So now we turn around. We don't have a civilized society. This is a threat to civilized society, Hamas. These people are radical Muslims. I'm going to say it here. They're radical, okay? They have taken the Quran and corrupted it. If you read the Quran, and I've read it, not cover to cover entirely, but I have read it, it is not a violent religion. It's just not. But yet somehow these knuckleheads have turned around and turned it into a battle cry of freedom, a battle cry for radicalism. Kill the other guys. But this is not what the Quran says. But they don't care. They don't care. So now remind yourselves again, why did this war start? Oh, that's right. Hamas walked in across the border, blew up the border between Israel and the Gaza Strip. They flew in with paragliders. They came in with motorcycles. They came in with people. And they killed 1,300 people. Of all the ironic things in this planet, they killed 260 people at a peace rally. That was the intelligence behind this. So when they did this, they invaded and they created a terrorist attack. For our imbecilic democratic squad to turn around and equate what Israel is now doing to what Hamas did, these people need to go out of this country. They need to leave. They need to get thrown out of the Congress. They need to get thrown out of the Senate because they are an infestation in this country that is going to take hold and destroy the rest of society. So Hamas runs the Gaza Strip. They're the ones who went in. The people voted Gaza in. Do you see? I've seen clips of commercials, or I should say cartoons, that they show their kids on killing Israelis. I mean, this is the Hamas. This is the organization, this terrorist organization, that our imbecile squad, they want to call themselves the squad, they should call themselves the imbecile squad. Okay? AOC, Presley, Ilhan Omar, okay? All of these knuckleheads, they are coming in. She's got more, sometimes you look at this and you say, America has become the idiocracy of the world. And the fact that her mouth continues to move without her brain being engaged is a real scary thought because you know what? She's in Congress. So she comes out, she's angry. She's a complete brainless fool. Like I don't even think anger could come to her brain, but you know what? She claims to be angry. So she wants to bring 1 million Palestinian refugees to this country. Well, there you go. Just tell them to come over the southern border. That's wide open. We have 7.5 million people in here. We don't know who the heck they are. But they're coming. Oh, that's right. Kamala's in control. the incompetent Kamala. She's in control. Yeah, second in command. Well, you have a special patient, the widget in the White House in command. I guess Kamala's not bad and second in command because at least she likes yellow school buses. She also likes Venn diagrams. Don't forget that. I don't know what they're smoking at the White House, but boy, oh boy, they should knock it off. It's not helping them at all. This is absolute insanity in this country.
Well, they got all
and
the
we are letting these people come out and incite violence against the Jewish population in America. And where is our genius and justice department? When Tlaib comes out and says Israel struck the hospital, you know that moron still has it posted up on her Twitter account? The twit Tlaib. Okay, great. She's Palestinian. But you know what? That's okay. Because you have to be an intelligent person to be in Congress. And clearly, she doesn't even clash with the threshold of a rock garden. That's my new threshold. So the insanity of these people running out in America and saying Israel is the bad guy here. It's just complete. That's like calling America the bad guy after 9/11. Fun fact, 19 people committed 9/11. We now have 7,500 terrorists or more in this country. Welcome to the new terrorist society. And what's going on? I got to tell you. You know, somebody says to me, don't worry. You know, people belong in the United States. They'll come here. The problem is that they're not assimilating when they come here. When every other ethnic background came to America, the majority of them assimilated. They wanted American values. They wanted the American family. They wanted the American language. They spoke English. They learned English. Most of them came here, they didn't speak any English, but they learned. Why? Because that's how you become successful in America. You know, we have learned nothing since 9/11, and we are destined. I have to go over this every week because I got to drill it into your heads as voters, because obviously our brainless leadership doesn't understand what we're doing. So we now have 7.5 million people in this country, 85,000 children that they brought in that they don't know where they are. They lost them. And that is the existential threat to America. That's, in fact, the existential threat to the world that I'm seeing all over right now, in Belgium, in Germany, all over the place, in London. These terrorist cells and organizations exist all over the world. And it's time that we weed them out and yank them out by the roots. And where do they fester? Well, gee, we learned that this week, didn't we? The college campuses. Duke University, Harvard University, Yale, these Ivy League schools, CUNY Law School of New York. These radical, violence-spewing people are going to become lawyers and one day maybe even in government. And we're letting that go. It's okay. They're only little terrorists. They won't grow into big terrorists. Well, guess what? Like I told you in rhyme time, you know who the bad guys are. Both sides put down their weapons and the other side still wants to kill you. They're the bad guys. Like I said, Israel disarms itself today. Guess what? They're gone because they're going to be attacked and die. Hamas disarms today. Guess what? Nothing happens. They're disarmed. Israel doesn't go in and take over the Gaza Strip. Israel doesn't care. Israel said, listen, live next door to us. Have a great time. Do what you want to do. But don't come and kill our people, because that's going to really tick us off. So where in Congress are all the investigations and where are all the Department of Justice people investigating and prosecuting and arresting people for incitement of violence? Where are they? I saw a professor give a speech from Columbia and another one from Harvard and from California about how invigorated he was when Hamas went in and killed babies and pregnant mothers and women and children and grandmothers and basically cut off their heads. He was invigorated. Well, you know what? If I was the college university president with a set of cojones, I'd say go get your invigoration somewhere else because you're out of campus. You're off. You're done. You're finished as a professor. You know, interesting, we have a list. When you are terminated as a police officer, there's a federal list of what's called for-cause firings. We should have that with college professors. Because somehow or another, these people who get in to these colleges are poisoning the brains of our students. I mean, it is poison, because it's going to lead to nothing but violence in this country. And these pro-Palestinian protests, they need to be shut down. That's calling for violence against someone. If I went out and I had a pro-killing blacks or pro-killing whites protest, do you not think that I would be terminated from being a student at a college campus in about 30 seconds? Do you not think that they would throw me off the campus? Why is this allowed to happen in America? Anti-Israel, anti-Jewish. And let's not make the bones about it. When they say anti-Israel, they're anti-Jewish. Because these morons on these Ivy League campuses can't distinguish between people when it comes to Jewish people. But when it comes to Palestinians, Hamas is the bad guy living among the good Palestinians. That doesn't matter. When it comes to Jews, Jews are all bad. So what are we allowing here? We're allowing the breeding ground of terrorism. This is where it comes from. It comes from now our college campuses. And this is a main problem in this country. We need to address it. We need to get it together. Because America, if you want to put out the next generations of terrorists, congratulations. You've lost your country. You have people like AOC up there. She's a bartender. She graduated from Boston University. I'd be embarrassed if I was Boston University. You know, I looked at her website, and half of the things on her website are just bizarrely inflaming. I mean, it's like, you know, it's almost like John Kirby, who I used to have a lot of respect for, I have zero respect for now. He's the now deflector and liar in chief. Well, I guess he's the only guy who can come out and speak without a teleprompter. And usually, by the way, the people who are putting out the information on the teleprompter for Biden don't put instructions on there anymore because he just keeps reading them. He doesn't understand that they're instructions. You know, I know they're bracketed out and everything, but listen, you're going to give him too much, you know, information. And I love the fact that, you know, Kirby came out before Biden went to Israel. We're going to have tough questions for Israel. What would be a tough question? Like, how come you haven't gone in there already? How come you haven't struck back already? Tough questions. Give me a break. You know, there's one side to this war. There's the righteous side. And it certainly does not lie on the side of Hamas and the Palestinian people. It just doesn't happen. The facts are the facts. So when Jordan and Egypt told Biden to go suck it, get out, we're not going to see you, how devastating do you think that was to his world diplomacy? How devastating. Listen, AOC wants to take 1 million Palestinians in here? No, thank you. No, thank you. Didn't we learn anything from the Somali boat lift? Well, we're going to take a short break, and I'm going to tell you all about the crumbling society right after this break. Stand by. You don't want to miss it.
On August 8th, 2022, in violation of the Fourth Amendment, the FBI performed a most egregious search of a former president's home. The Fourth Amendment of the U.S. Constitution provides that the right of the people to be secure in their persons, houses, papers, and effects against unreasonable searches and seizures shall not be violated, and no warrants shall issue, but upon probable cause, supported by oath or affirmation, and particularly describing the place to be searched and the persons or things to be seized. The Fourth Amendment originally enforced the notion that each man's home is his castle, secure from unreasonable searches and seizures of property by the government. We must take a stand and take back our country.
If you love classic cars, you're going to want to listen to The Classic Car Show with Tom Cox and Richard Lentinello on America's Web Radio. Live every Saturday at 9 a.m. Eastern at americaswebradio.com. Or on demand on your favorite podcast app.
You're listening to America's Web Radio on the AmericasBroadcastNetwork.com. Thank you for listening.
Mark, we're back on Abide a Reality, and I just wanted to throw out one thing that you were talking about, the universities and professors and stuff. You know, the military has an answer for it. You screw up in the military, and you get what's called a dishonorable discharge. Civilian life, like in universities and other places in civilian life, they also should have dishonorable discharges. If you do well, you get an honorable discharge. If you don't do well and you put out propaganda and lies, you get a dishonorable discharge. And now back to Mark the Shark.
There we go. So here's what I was talking about before the break, and I promise you I'd talk about the crumbling society, but we're going to jump back to something that I wanted to pick up with. You know, I was really upset with the media, and I don't know if I made that really apparent. The media itself, it wasn't the fact that the story came out. That's okay. The story came out, Hamas puts out a news release that the Israeli bombed the hospital. Where are all these facts? Where are all the fact checkers? Where are all the misinformation gurus? Why is there not outrage in the media now as to what they carried out? They basically carried out inciting violence against Jews all over the world. And no one's holding anyone responsible. Here we go again. Lack of culpability for bad deeds leads to more bad deeds. There's no consequences. Why are there no consequences? That's a great question. I think we, as the American population, we as the world population, have to hold people accountable. If you do not hold people accountable, you just are destined to create the same problems over and over again. It's like not teaching history. Now, why did they do that? Why did they rip down statues? Why did they cleanse our history of the violence and of the obsessions of some of our forefathers? Why? Because then they can make it anything they want. If you sanitize something, then you can infect it with your own. That's what they want to do. So where are all those equity inclusion geniuses now on our college campuses, our diversity inclusion people? It doesn't extend to Jewish students, does it? Not in our USA campuses. So you're brewing the next generation of terrorists, and here we go. We're doing nothing about it. Everyone's going to say, well, we condemn all hate speech. But what about the violent speech? What about calling for violence against Israel? Where's the Department of Injustice? Where is he? What did he do? He chased around parents at school board meetings, but people who are actually calling for violence against other people in the United States, and he's okay with that. Nothing freaking to see here. Where's the January 6th committee? Why don't we start the October 7th committee? Where's that? Oh, no, because guess what? It doesn't start with a T for Trump. Because the insanity, the Trump insanity, is still there. But guess what? This doesn't matter. Because this needs to be here. The other day, 300 people came in, broke into the Capitol, and were protesting inside the Capitol. Were they arrested and thrown in incarceration and for unlimited times and not charged for over a year while they sat in jail? And are they now going to be hammered by the federal justice system in Washington? I think not. Why? Because they're not Trump supporters. If they were Trump supporters, boom, they're in jail for a year, 2 years, 3 years. But why are they not in jail? They broke into the people's house. This was an insurrection. Right? They wanted to take over the people's house. But you don't hear about it. It wasn't reported on most of the media stations. Why? Because it was Democrats. Do you not see what's going on here? I don't understand why people are so blatantly blinded by the ridiculousness of what's going on. You know, it's almost the ideology of the left is stronger than sanity. And it's almost as if war is preferred over peace. Because they voted for Biden. Trump didn't get us into any wars. as crazy as he was. He didn't get us into any war. Remember, they thought within a week and a half with Kim Jong-un that he was going to blow up the world. But guess what? Nothing happened because he understood the world. He didn't put it out there in nice fancy phrases. He wasn't a great orator like Biden. Okay. Like Obama. Obama was a great orator. Yeah, I just disagreed with everything he said and everything he did. But he was a great orator. He had that power behind him. But this is the problem here. The other day, yesterday, he gave a speech. And I call it the State of the Union speech light. I was really confused because I thought it was a speech about the Israeli war. And somehow or another, about 80 or 70% of it turned out to be about Ukraine. Now, I understand that they wrote the speech originally to be given about Ukraine. But you know what? Gosh darn it. You got enough people working in that White House to revamp a speech. And if you can't revamp a speech, get out of government. Come on. You got enough people there. Stop doing the easy things. Do the hard things because they're worth it. So he gets out there, and he's talking primarily about Ukraine, and this was great. By the way, Joe, I just wanted to clear something up because you did say something in your speech that Hamas doesn't represent the Palestinian people. Joe, Hamas was the voted representatives from the Palestinian people. So that's like saying the Democrats or the Republicans don't represent America. Well, hey, that's actually true now these days. So maybe he does have a point. But the bottom line is they elected Hamas. Hamas runs Gaza Strip. They are, for all intents and purposes, they are the Palestinians in Gaza. Now, the PLO, I don't know what happened to them. They disappeared somewhere. They got tossed and Hamas came in. Okay. Well, you know what? If you don't like your representatives, you'll throw them out the next election. And if not, you know what? So shall you, what is it? So shall you sow, so shall you reap. It's very simple. So I was thinking of listening to the speech and I was kind of, it kind of supported Israel. You know, he said, listen, we support Israel, we'll never waver. But that speech kind of like, it kind of was a little weak. Why? Because he kept trying to defend the Palestinians. And how do you defend people who chop off the heads of babies, who kill mothers, who rip their babies from their wombs, and who rape and parade women around the streets naked? This is not a war. This is a retribution. You need to get rid of terrorists. If we had Hamas or Iran set up missiles on our northern border in Canada, and they kept lobbing some into Detroit. Well, maybe that might fix some of the infrastructure in Detroit, but that's another subject for another day. What would we do? We'd put an end to that rather quickly. But what did Israel do? They tried to live with them. They tried to stay with them. They said, listen, we'll open up the border and knock it off. And what happened? Instead of building schools, they built bombs. Instead of building schools and infrastructure, they built weapons. Instead of building and giving their people more to live for, they built tunnel systems to attack Israel. Do we need any more proof? Do we? Do we really need any more proof? And this is what I found really rich. Biden calls for Israel to abide by the rules of law for war. He wants Israel to follow the rules of war. Let me ask you this. I didn't hear anyone call on Hamas to follow the rules of law or the law of war. Why? Because Hamas doesn't care. And I suspect that Israel at this point doesn't care. You know, he said, don't make the same mistakes we did after 9/11. You know what the mistake is after 9/11 that we made? Is that we didn't level countries that this came from. That was the mistake. And we're right here again. We're right here at the brink of disaster again. And if you think that Hezbollah, backed by Iran, is not coming for Israel, they're already lobbing missiles in from Yemen, and Jordan's going to get involved in this. Listen, we better wake up in this world. And we either have to agree with the terrorists and just let everybody kill each other, or we got to take the terrorists out. There is no difference between the terrorists that conducted the 9/11 attacks and the terrorists that conducted the October 7th attack. There's no difference. Why is there no difference? Because they took innocent lives. They didn't target military targets. There was no ends to a means. It was just an attack. It was a brutality. They burned people alive in their houses. But you don't hear about that. And you know what? Again, and I pointed this out, it bugs the living daylights out of me. Stop blurring out the images. Let the American people see the reality of the brutality. And by the way, talking about blurred images for a second. Geniuses at the Genius Bar in the White House. Can you stop putting out pictures of our special forces? Are you imbeciles? How dumb can you be to turn around and put out our unblurred out images of our special force units? You put targets on their heads. You put targets on their families' heads. Who got fired? Who was responsible? Guess what? No one. No one is ever responsible in this White House for anything. In fact, they'll probably blame it on Trump like everything else. Why would you do something like that? Which moron did something like that? That guy should be terminated immediately. There would not even be an inquiry. How do you do something like that? And quite frankly, you know what? With all the garbage that's been coming out of the White House and all the left-wing crapola, I don't think it was done unintentionally. I don't think it was done by mistake. I think it was done purposefully. That is a mistake you cannot afford to make. Those special operators are now in jeopardy. And I implore whoever was responsible to be investigated and possibly arrested and charged. Because you know what? You cannot out our special forces. That is a real bad thing to do. Because you know what? You now put them in jeopardy. So, we're getting towards the end of the show, but I did want to know that I am outraged by our administration turning around and trying to say that what's going on the college campuses now is just free speech. Well, if I go out and have a, pro-slave labor rally on Duke, or pro-slaver, how about killing blacks and whites on campus? I'm going to have a pro-kill blacks on campus rally. How fast do you think that would be shut down? How fast do you think that professor who has spoken at that rally would be tossed out? In about what, 30 seconds? 15 to 30 seconds? But yet when it has to do with a Jewish person and Jewish people, that's okay on campuses? No. Where's the Department of Injustice? Listen, this country's got a lot to look forward to. But I can tell you under Biden, it's not forward-looking. But we're going to wrap it up right now. We got about another 15, 20 seconds. I want to thank you for listening to Bite of Reality with Mark the Shark on America's Web Radio. And next week, I promise you, we will cover the society crumbling. Thanks for listening, and have a great week.
The views, opinions, and content of the show hosts and their guests appearing on America's Web Radio are their own and do not necessarily reflect those of the station.
You're listening to America's Web Radio on the AmericasBroadcastNetwork.com. Thank you for listening.